Continuing on in 2 Peter, and our text is verses 10 and 11 of chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. If you're physically able, would you stand for probably a minute or so, just so I can read these verses in your hearing. Let's just honor God with our attention. Listen to Him. I'm speaking audibly, but I'm speaking vicariously for God, since we believe this is His word, right? So we say together, "Speak, Lord, your people listen." Yes? And so verse 10 says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." Amen. Our Father, we are your people. And we're so thankful to be able to stand in your presence today and not be destroyed. We're so thankful to have the only true mediator between God and man interceding for us right now. And we are so thankful and blessed to be able to say that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. For the past 6 weeks or so, we've been pressing in on this issue of maturity. And again, kind of bringing it to a close, not today, but soon. And I hope for you to see that we're trying to make progress here. God never calls for us to live a certain way in life just for it to end there. Our life is leading to something. Yes? The Christian lives and sacrifices and denies ourselves and loves and ministers because it's leading to something. Anyone in this room, whether you're young or old, can see this thing is falling apart. Yes? I mean, and just environmentally, man is destroying himself. And so we live because we have a hope for something greater and better and wonderful, yes? And so I want to talk to you today about why this maturity that we're addressing will give you security in this life and it will lead you on into eternity, right? And so we have purpose for what we do. And I know that I've been just laboring over these things over and over. And that's because maturity is so central right now. The church is so filled with infants. They're filling coliseums and just mega places with just a lot of babies. And people don't realize they're babies today because they have not taken the time to see what a mature Christian even looks like. To think about what a mature Christian thinks like, right? How a mature Christian talks and acts. Because Christians today are just being fed whatever they want to hear. What the Bible says, itching ears, right? People are filled with itching ears today. And trust me, whatever you want to hear, there's somebody in the pulpit that will tell you what you want to hear today. That's sad to say, but that is true. So maturity is essential. And I've been struggling. Y'all know I tried last week something. I've been struggling because I want, when we get done with here, I want this to just be riveted in your mind. So here we go again. Tyler, you helped us out last time. I want you to come again. Anya, you weren't here last time, were you? Don't, trust me, this is not really, really bad. This is really, really good. Would you come and help us now? You helped us last time, didn't you, Derek? Come on. One more. You already had your birthday. Come on. Now, Tina. Yeah. Tina, you. Tracy, you. Come on down. Brother Ernest. Now, I'm going somewhere here. This is not fun and games. I hope you all know by now, these are not fun and games. Amen. I want you to pay attention to the people up here. I work hard to try to make sure we get this, okay? Donna. Okay. Good. I want you on that end. Now, first of all, I want y'all to listen to what they say. We've read these before. This is review. They're not just standing here and talking. We're reviewing. Yes?
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen to what they say and how they say it. I want you to say this like you mean it. All right? Start with faith and work our way all the way to love. All right? Listen to what they have to say about faith. This is what faith says.
Faith. I will trust God with my past, present, and future without fear or doubt.
The church says, amen. This is what virtue says.
Virtue. I will, demonstrate excellence in my character that attracts people to me in order to know Christ.
Amen. And this is what knowledge says.
I will understand and obey God's will in the face of temptation.
Very good. Self-control.
I will restrain my emotions, impulses, and desires in the face of temptation.
Yes. Steadfastness.
I will not quit or give up in the face of difficulty.
All right. And godliness.
I will respect and reverence God in the face of difficulty and temptation.
All right. And brotherly affection.
I will love my Christian brother and sister like a genuine member of my family.
And love.
I will deny myself and sacrifice for the good of another in times of difficulty.
Everybody says amen. Now, just as last time, would y'all turn and lock arms? Now, last time, you saw young people here, right? Now, why have we combined not just the youth here? I want you to think about something. You may be more mature in one of these than the other, but you can't go on without all of them. So they can't proceed without Tyler, regardless of how many years they've been working together, or vice versa, okay? You don't pick and choose when it comes down to these qualities. Amen. Just because you say, I've been loving a long time, you still got something you're weak in. You need to grow in. Yes. And we need, they come together. Anya's probably the newest one here. But we don't grow without her.
Amen. That's right.
I forgot, she is self-control. We don't grow and develop as a Christian without self-control. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason I put Ernest on the end. You can't be a Christian without faith.
Amen.
And so you may say, I've been a Christian a long time. But if you haven't developed any of these others, you're still a baby. Amen. You're an old baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be crass or critical. You understand? Think about this. We need the whole package, yes?
Yes.
to grow. Thank you. You getting it? Okay. Every Christian, must grow in these eight character qualities. You remember last time we talked about the fact that there were effective and ineffective Christians, right? An effective and a productive Christian, we saw last time, has to possess all eight. An effective and a productive Christian has to progress in all eight, right? We also saw that an ineffective and unproductive Christian has poor spiritual sight. They can sit through church services and Bible studies and not understand because their mind is all clouded. The biblical sight is poor. They're conflicted with what they want to do. They love good preaching and good singing, but they don't love to obey. Now, this is serious. This is the reason we've got churches filled with babies, making fuss and noise and complaining and grumbling, trying to have my way. It's just like any other baby. Until you mature, you don't learn to deny yourself. You don't learn to exercise self-control. Yeah, you could say something, but this is not the time. You see? Or, yeah, anybody could quit. But God says, I want you to go through, to finish. Yes? You see what I'm saying? And so that ineffective and unproductive Christian, like not only has poor spiritual sight, you remember they have poor spiritual memory. It's an amazing thing that you have to come to church and be worked up before you can be thankful. Something's wrong with that. Something wrong if you don't exercise your memory enough to realize you need to be thankful before you have to get here and get worked up about it. Yes? Exercise your spiritual memory at home. Well, what do you mean? You need to be thankful you got a place that you can go and exercise. Yes? Thankful you're breathing God's air and eating his food. All you got a reason to be thankful. Yeah. So I won't belabor that. You got it, right? We got it. So today, these two verses we're looking at, I want us to think about these two big points. The Christian must work diligently in this life. And God is going to richly provide for us in the next life, right? We work diligently here. God provides there. Hallelujah. This is the way it ought to be. Now, thank God we're not down here working alone. He said, what? I'll never leave you, never forsake you, but you still got to work. All right? So let's look at this real quick and try to unpack it, and then we'll be done for the day. The Christian must work diligently in this life. So the first thing I want to look at is what maturity. I said maturity and security leads to glorious eternity. Maturity is the first thing we want to look at. And I see this in verse 10. Every member of the Christian family should desire spiritual growth, both for yourself and for others. Where you get that, Brother Will? You got verse 10? Therefore, brothers. By the way, that's a generic term in the scriptures to where it literally means brothers and sisters, okay? The whole idea is to talk about what? Family members. Therefore, members of the Christian family. So every member of the Christian family should desire to grow. And you should desire for the one sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you to grow likewise, yes? Because I don't want to just grow by my... I'm not so self-centered that I'm only thinking about me. I have to deny myself and consider the interests of others as what? More important than myself. And so maturity talks to us, speaks to us as a Christian family. Spiritual growth and maturity requires... now, look at my sentence. requires painstaking hard work on a consistent basis. This is really, really, really important. And, I know I got a number of athletes here. Or if you're not an athlete, at least you watch them and you understand that it's an athlete is going to be injured that doesn't consistently keep themselves in shape. Regardless of how naturally gifted you are, it takes practice, right? Or a musician, I mean, you pick any area. If you don't practice, you're going to begin to what? Digress. Regardless of how much natural skill you have. Christian, it's no different for us. If you want, you keep saying you want to grow, you keep saying you want to grow, but you won't work. You see the point? You say, well, I prayed about it. That's wonderful. I mean, it's a wonderful thing that you pray, but pray and go to work. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Go to work on these 8 things we looked at, right? Go to work on virtue and knowledge and self-control, right? Don't just pray about it. You say, well, Lord, I just pray that you give me more peace. Well, come on. He's already given it to you. He said, exercise it, right? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's saying, I will give you peace in this terrible situation. Right? And you don't need to keep praying about it. Exercise the peace. You got it. Or self-control. I mean, all of these things that we're talking about. And I'm not fussing. I'm just saying, this we got to get this. You got to get it. Yes? And so, you got verse 10. Therefore, be all the more diligent. You see that? That whole word idea is that you got to take pains. Be all the more diligent. You got to be scrupulous. I know Roger and Ernest play tennis. And some of you others might too. Or table tennis. If you want to see a person get tired, watch how a person that doesn't know how to center themselves on the court, it's an amazing thing. I used to play handball. What's the thing called? You know, what? Racquetball. Yeah, a racquetball, a handball. And it's an amazing thing to watch a skilled player stand in the center of the court and a young player what? Just all over the place. Right? And so you gotta take time and work out the little nuances and details so that you don't. How does the scripture say you shouldn't consider the word of God as burdensome? It's not burdensome.
Amen.
Jesus said, my yoke is what?
Easy.
This is the easy way. Now, I'm not saying when I say easy, that doesn't mean that you won't have problems. It's just that it's more straightforward than all the other kind of ways you're trying to live. This one will never change. Yes? You can always, always come back. The road is what? Narrow. And again, a good athlete knows that you need a discipline that's right for you. Stay with that. You can't keep flopping back and forth to somebody else's workout path. Stay with the one that works for you. Yes? But if you don't take the time, you're not going to know what works best for you. Everybody doesn't like to get up early in the morning. But you ought to like to get up sometime and spend time with God.
Amen.
Yeah? I mean, that's okay. That's okay that you're not an early, early morning person.
Amen.
But you got to work out some schedule to where you can have time for God. Yes?
Amen.
All of us can make excuses. I'm just kind of getting off track here. But I remember, you know, when I was working downtown riding the bus and all, I figured that the way to get away from having to go to the gym is to buy my own equipment. And I did. Bought it, put it in the basement. What happened? It got dust. And because I didn't discipline myself, I mean, it was there. It was available for me. But I didn't painstakingly set up a schedule to where I could use it. That's what I'm saying about us as Christians. God has given us everything we need. But if you don't take some time to make a plan and use it, you'll just remain out of shape. And is this clear? I'm not fussing. I'm just saying these are things that we ought to get. We ought to get. So practice. Be diligent and practice is the whole idea here with maturity. Then the next one is security. And the same similar point here. Every Christian should confirm. Your Bible might say, make your calling and election sure. I mean, it's the same thing. Confirm that you're saved. And this needs to be urgent. You're not too young to make sure you're saved. You say, well, I got plenty of time. You don't know that. No one in this room knows how much time you have. You need to be sure you're saved when? Right now. Today is the day to make sure you have been converted. Amen. Think of, oh, how awful it is to see Jesus speak in Matthew 7, the end there, when he says that many will say to me, what? Lord, Lord, I attended church. I didn't say I attended church, but you know, I did this for you, I did that. And what did he say? I never knew you. He didn't deny that you did those things, but you didn't take time to know me. You need to make sure you're saved today. Don't play games. You know, if you got to convince somebody you're saved by all the things you did in the past, something's wrong with that. If you're saved, there ought to be some evidence, what? Right now. You shouldn't have to keep punting back to what happened back there. There ought to be some, if you're saved, there ought to be evidence right now. If you're tree, if you're a live tree, there ought to be some fruit now. Yeah? So every Christian, you got verse 10? Again, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Make sure. This, I hope that you're not here today saying, I've heard all this before. If you're a Christian, all that you do when you get that assurance is just to solidify it. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, test yourself. Why do we do annual exams? Why do we do annual physicals? We want to find out if something is wrong. But if nothing is wrong, that's good news, yes? At least I verified that I'm in good shape. That's all the point. No Christian should be afraid to examine yourself. If you are, something's wrong. And I'll be honest with you. Kind of telling myself. I mean, there are times I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want to know what's wrong. I mean, I'm just being straight. Now, that is unwise. That is unwise. And if you're thinking that way as a Christian, that is really unwise. Now, I thank God I'm married to a medical encyclopedia and a medical motivator. And I'm saying this to you spiritually. You need to hook up with somebody that'll keep you motivated spiritually. None of us can make it on our own. You need somebody that'll check you spiritually. I'm serious. Amen. Somebody that'll talk straight to you about where you are spiritually. All of us can convince ourselves that we're all right. Yeah? Again, I'll take athletics. And I'm not just picking on tennis player because I don't play tennis. I try. But the fact is, I'm trying to get some one-on-one sports. It's an amazing thing. If you want to make yourself feel good as a tennis player, go out and play somebody that's less competent than you. Ain't no problem, right? But if you want to grow, what you got to do? You got to get out there with somebody that'll challenge you. Now, come on. If we know that much on the natural side, surely you can apply that spiritually. Amen. If you want to grow, you're going to have to get somebody that challenges you, They just don't tell you what you want to hear. Now, speak the truth what? In love, but still the truth. We good? Okay. So every Christian should confirm your conversion. The word confirm or in yours it may be make your calling election sure, is this word babios. Babios. And it means to look at, don't miss this. It means to validate over a period of time. This is really important. If you are saved, you will stay saved. Now, you remember, perfect example is Judas. Judas hung with Jesus for 3 years. Nobody knew he wasn't the real deal. He was preaching like everybody else, working miracles like just like everybody else. Jesus said, one of you is a devil, and they all looked around and see, is it I? One of you will betray me, right? And so I'm saying to you, if you're saved, it'll be validated over a period of time. And if you're not, it's going to come to light. They went out from us, but they were really not of us. For if they had been with us, they would have stayed with us. Yeah? I pray to God that that's none of you. I know that worship services isn't always exciting and thrilling, but neither is home life or a job or, I mean, you pick any venue. Every venue has what? Ebbs and flows. But you're supposed to stay in there. Stay there, my brother, my sister. Validate that what you have is real. Yes? You need to confirm it. You need to confirm it. You know, what Peter says is that life's trials will do that. That's the value of trials, by the way, in all of our lives. 1 Peter 1, these trials that come up on us, they come to test the genuineness of your faith. Are you just talking a good game, or do you really believe? Have you really surrendered to Christ? The other thing about security, this is really important. I'm about to wrap this particular point up. But make note of this. If you're taking notes, you got to get this point here. Every Christian will stumble in life, but will never fall into eternal condemnation. This is extremely, extremely, extremely important. That's the reason when you look at the life of David. David committed awful sin. He stumbled, but he didn't fall into eternal condemnation. He was the one that could come back after his sin and say what? Create in me what? A clean heart. Why did he do that? Because what was inside him was real. He stumbled, but he didn't fall. Can you flip right back up? Write a book earlier, James. James chapter 3 and verse 2. Listen to this. For we all stumble in many ways. That's important for all of us. Everybody in this room is going to stumble. Listen at him. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Anybody perfect? Everybody in this room has stumbled in what you've said. Yes? Absolutely. He is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. And so stumbling is a reality for the true Christian. Falling into condemnation is not. One other little verse that will help you, Romans 11:11. This is Paul writing about Israel and the fate of Israel. Even though when he writes, Israel looks like they are abandoned, they are lost forever. You got Romans 11:11. He says, so I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? You hear it? Did Israel stumble in order that they might stay down and be lost forever? What's his answer? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. We all stumble. Yes? We all error. We all make mistakes. But thank God that isn't a there is therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Death, life, angels, powers, principalities, height, depth, nor any other created thing shall what? Be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So you understand, we stumble, but we don't fall into eternal condemnation. So when I say maturity and security, I'm saying when you grow, you begin to see that. I am secure. I'm secure in Christ. Christ gives me evidence every day. This is the reason I want us to grow. There ought to be proof in your life every day that you're a Christian. Amen. Every day you ought to have some evidence that says, yes, I am a Christian. You may not like me or even appreciate what I said, but God gives me confidence that I'm a Christian over and over and over and over again. Look at Christ, a man of sorrows, rejected. But did that deter him? You know his mission. You need to know yours. Yes, you need to be secure in what God has called you to do. Don't stop vacillating so much because people want you to do this and that. Know what God has called you to do and be secure in it. Be mature in it. Walk in it. Finish it. That's the only way you're going to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I what? I finished the race and I kept the faith. You can't finish if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. Bouncing back and forth. It's sad, but in this room, I'm confident that some of us still have that works mentality. You mess up, you do something, you goof up, then you want to come to church and think that you're appeasing God. No. We don't work to appease God. He's already done that in Christ. You work now to please him, right? You work now to demonstrate your love for him. You see the difference? Because when I fail, I come to him and say, on the basis of Jesus Christ, I ask for what? Forgiveness. I don't try to work and do something and pay off my debt. The debt has what? Been paid. I'm secure. Now, shall we sin? That grace may abound. No, no, no. You know we don't. That's not the issue. I don't go around just sinning because my debt has been paid. But when I sin, I realize that is not a sin unto condemnation. You see the difference? I'm secure. This is really, really, really important. Secure Christians live differently. You're not waiting on somebody else to validate you. Yeah? Because people are fickle. Yes, we all know it. And before you start thinking about somebody else, think about you. You're fickle too. Somebody was counting on you and you didn't come through. Yes? So the validation comes from the Lord. So when you are sure, just rest in that. Now, I spent a long time there, but you get it. Yes? Mature and secure. Okay. The next thing, oh boy, it gets good now. Well, hopefully that was good. But, darn, we set up? We good? Okay. God will richly provide in eternity. And so that's verse 11. The first thing I want to talk about from verse 11 is what I call the entrance into eternity. And if you're a Christian, that's what we're waiting on, right? I mean, that's the next great change for you and I. Job said, I'm going to wait till my what? My change come. And so we're waiting for this great change where we move from this life into eternity. Every Christian who faithfully practices these qualities will arrive and be welcomed into eternal glory with Christ. Now, where do you get that, Brother Will? You got verse 11? You got verse 11? For in this way, what is he saying? Look back at verse 10. He said, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Then he says, for in this way. So every Christian who faithfully practices these qualities is going to arrive and be welcomed into eternal glory with Christ. Now, don't begin to acquiesce yet. Our welcome, when we finally get home, is going to be lavish and generous and glorious. That's what he means by richly provided. You got verse 11? For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance. It's going to be absolutely extraordinary. The scriptures speak of things that I hadn't seen or ear heard or entered into the heart of man. This is going to be so wonderful. John did his best to try to describe heaven, and all he could do was use things that he knew about on earth. It's going to be so wonderful to have pristine, perfect environment. It's going to be so wonderful. And can you imagine leaving this behind and going into that? Wow, I don't know what else to say. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. The entrance into eternity is going to be glorious. And then finally, there is the kingdom. There's a real, the kingdom of, if you're a Christian, the kingdom is already here with you, spiritually, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done. So God rules in the heart of the individual. He's ruling, right? He's king. He's the Lord of my heart and my situation, my home, the Lord. Wherever I go, he's the Lord. But there's a kingdom that's coming that's visible. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a new heaven and a new earth is coming.
Amen.
And it's not mystical. It's real. And so the kingdom, we got the entrance into eternity and then the kingdom of eternity. And so the first thing you notice is that the kingdom is eternal. Verse 11, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. You also notice that the kingdom is yet to come. For you English majors, this verb here will be, right? There will be, so it's still in the future. This kingdom is still to come. Even though the kingdom is among us right now, the one that we're talking about here is yet to come. Yes? And it's going to be absolutely wonderful. Nothing on earth compares to the eternal kingdom of God. Let me just flip back. That Hebrews 11, you ever seen that verse? Hebrews 11, 10, speaking of Abraham. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Yes, that's what we're looking forward to. Now, I thank God for my house that I can go to and rest, and my easy chair, and my bed. You got a bed? Yeah, we got your bed. If you don't, you got a chair that you sleep in, something. Don't you thank God for that? But, oh, there's a better home coming. Yeah, and I don't know who built your house, but I'm thankful that they won't be building any houses in the new heaven and new earth. It's an amazing thing you have, how many times you have to call the repairman back. Yes? When God is done, you'll never have to get any, you won't have to have maintenance done. Isn't that wonderful? They've never sent a maintenance man to the moon or the sun. Right? Because man can't mess it up. The only things you have to repair are things that man gets on and messes up. This home that we're talking about, the designer and the builder is God. Not made with human hands. Is that good? That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Hallelujah. And then finally, the kingdom belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I see that at the end of verse 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I want to wrap up like this. What have we said? I've said to you that the Christian, the believer, has to possess and progress in these eight qualities. Yes? I've said to you, then that makes a believer both effective and productive. And when you possess and progress in these eight qualities, you are effective and productive in life. That provides security for you. You now grow and you are secure that you are saved. And then, once you finally get done with this life, God promises that there's an eternal kingdom coming. And this eternal kingdom is for all who believe. This glorious entrance that we will have. You ready for that? Yes. Now, I don't know how the angels are going to welcome us, but it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be glory. It's going to be magnificent. When we finally get home, I hope you're ready. You're ready to go home. So then, my brother, my sister, Peter warned everyone who professed to be a Christian to be certain that they were actually going to the new heaven and the new earth. He did not want anyone to be shocked at the end of time to find out that their destiny was not heaven, but actually hell. No one who loves you wants you to live your whole life and find out at the end that you are going to hell. Yes? No one wants you to be deceived all your life to find out that you are going to hell. So my brother, my sister, are you certain about your calling and your election? Have you confirmed your salvation, and do you know that you are born again? My brother, my sister, do you have biblical evidence and biblical proof that you are saved? Do you possess these character qualities, and are you making observable progress with them? Can people look at you and know without your cross and your ring and your Bible that you are saved? Does your life say to them, I believe in Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes? This needs to be, you need to settle that right now. And if that's not true, you can change that right now. You don't need to procrastinate. Yes? This is the day, to be honest. Take a careful look in the mirror of your own life. Don't procrastinate. Don't pretend. Don't make excuses to justify the lack of growth. Open your heart. Open your heart to God today. Repent. Make real changes in your life. Stop scrutinizing everybody else's life. As Jesus said, you can see the speck in someone else's eye, and yet you got this log. Come on, my friend, take a careful look at your own life. This is too serious. Your destiny depends on right assessment. This is no game. When you're dead, you go to where you will be forever. God is no respecter of persons. And I'm not trying to be cavalier. But those students at, what was this last school shooting? Florida? Those students, the ones that didn't make it, they didn't know that was their last day.
Right.
Some people get in automobiles and they're going from one place to the other. They don't know that that's their last day. They had big plans for the future. Yeah? People that have medical conditions that you don't know. Now, I'm saying today is the day to take an honest look at your life. Where are you? Where are you right now? If this was your last day, are you sure you know where you're going? Does the evidence bear it out? Yes? You need to be honest. Whether you're honest with me or not is not the issue. You need to be honest with God. Because he already sees and knows, yes? He wants you to be real with him. Be honest, repent, make those changes. Say yes to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I need to change. Yes, Lord, I need to grow. I long for maturity and security in my own life so that I will have this great entrance into eternity. I want to hear Jesus speaking to me. Let not your heart be troubled, will it? Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Put your name in there. This home that Jesus has gone to build, will you be there? Do you have a room there? This is not just a feel-good kind of issue. You have to make sure that you are ready. Ready. Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to be with Christ? Yes? Make sure. Make sure. And if you know that you are not a Christian, if you know that you are not a believer, then this is a wonderful opportunity for you to surrender to Christ. Regardless of your age, regardless of your past sins, regardless of the guilt and shame that you feel, there's hope for you today. There's hope today.
Yes, it is.
Some of you young people, you hear us older people talk about some of the ways we lived. There's some things that we can't even talk about in church. And so don't think that you've been so bad and you've done so much that you cannot be forgiven. Today would be a good day to make that change. Lord, we want to thank you that you never give up on us. We want to thank you that you are never the failure. We want to thank you that we can anchor our hope in you. We want to thank you, Lord Christ, that you gave your life as true payment for the sins of our own. We want to thank you that you offer salvation to us freely. We want to thank you that right here, right now, nothing is hindering anyone from coming to Christ. Would you speak clearly? Would you speak to the one that is saved, that needs to grow today, that the time is now, the urgency is now. Speak, Lord. Your people listen, and help us to say amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's bow together for just a few minutes, and then we'll see if there are any comments before we go home.